Hey, my name is Lauren Frieder, and my husband Drew and I are lead pastors at Lift Church. We are on the eastern shore of Maryland. We want to thank you so much for joining us today, and we are believing that you will get a lift of encouragement.
Hey, we're so glad that you've joined us for our Easter experience, and we truly believe that you're in for a great experience throughout this message and throughout that worship today. And I know it would be better to do it in person and get to high-five one another, hug each other, and celebrate, but man, what a celebration that's going to be whenever we are able to come back together. And I'm getting prepared, and I hope you're getting prepared. But listen, today's no less of a celebration. Today is the day we celebrate Jesus died on Friday. He was buried. And guess what? Like no other person in all human history, he rose himself from the dead, proving he's the Son of God on this Easter celebration. I'm welcoming you to our experience. And I want to let you know, kids, we haven't forgotten about you. There was some great things planned for you as we had our egg extravaganza last year. And we normally like to have a big Easter egg hunt. Guess what? The best we can do, we've set up for you. There is a virtual Easter egg hunt happening right after this experience. That's right. Our kids can jump on devices and computers, go to this website you see on the screen right now, and they're going to compete to find the eggs in these different pictures as fast as they possibly can. And it'll just be a cool experience. And then right after that, parents, help your kids get on our YouTube channel. We have a kids page where they have an Easter message uploaded and waiting for you as soon as this experience is done. And then I just want to start with, you know that I'm from Louisiana and I migrated and moved up here to Maryland. And so I heard this story, this new development that's happening back home in Louisiana, where Louisiana has been known for its bayous, but there's Bayou Lafourche and there's Bayou Teche, but there's a new one that they just named in the middle of this corona virus, and it's called Bayou Self. And we're all living in it right now. Come on, I know that's cheesy, but listen, we've been in a series called Sacred Moments. If you've been with us, then you know this is a series that we were focusing on Jesus's final actions of his final week of life and what they tell us. And now we're moving into a new series called Altars, where we want to learn how to speak to God and hear what he tells us and adjust our actions to respond to it. And so all of today is going to be a setup. It's going to be this awesome collision where these two ideas collide and complement each other, all at the foot of Jesus's crucifixion and cross. I'm telling you, I am so excited for what God's about to do in and through you this morning. And so, we all have had a desire to meet with God. Throughout all of history, man has wanted to meet with God. This is not new to today. And I know it's true of every single one of us. We want to know God and we want to know how to talk to him, how to meet with him, how to worship him, what he likes, what he doesn't like, and if he hears my prayers. And we're moving into this series we start today about praying and having the power of God. And it starts actually in man trying to meet with God. And there was this picture of man trying to meet with God that begins in the tabernacle. In fact, the tabernacle, scripture tells us, was a shadow of how man, sinful man, approached God to meet with God and to communicate with God. And so Hebrews 10:1 breaks it down like this. The old system under the law of Moses was only a shadow, a dim preview of the good things to come. It wasn't the good things themselves. And so it was only a dim preview. And so what does that preview look like? Well, you know me, I like to draw a little bit, and I want to help show you what this looked like. See, in order to meet with God, you came to the tabernacle. And the tabernacle was a place that had an outer perimeter. And if you were a worshiper and you wanted to come meet with God, you were going to enter into this perimeter. Now, on the inside of it was the tabernacle. The tabernacle was a large curtain-covered tent that God's dwelling place was inside. Now, This tabernacle was known to be about a half of a football field today, just so that you get a visual of how big it was. And on the inside, there were two divisions. There was the holy place, and this is where people would enter first, or priests would enter first. And then on the inside was the holy of holies, okay? And in here is very important because this is where God's presence was known to be. And we need to understand that in order for sinful man to meet with God, they would have to enter the outer courts, they would have to enter the holy place, and then into the holy of holies. Now, there was an impassable place in the outer court that all people had to pass in order to meet with God, and it was called the brazen altar. Let's take a closer look at that altar. And so this is the scene that we would walk up on whenever you wanted to meet with God. You'd approach the tabernacle, and you can imagine being in a long line of sinners who want to become worshipers, people who want to communicate with God. And so we've entered the line, and as we approached the outer gate, we would start approaching hot flames, because there would be out in the outer court the brazen altar. It would be a bronze structure that could handle a perpetual fire so that we can offer sacrifices to God. And so the scene would be out in a desert sky. It would be hot. It would be scorching sun, sand all around, wearing robes. Can you imagine the priests who have to man this outer court brazen fire? There would be some of them who are just receiving animal after animal from every single person in line. It doesn't matter who you are, in order to meet with God, you have to pass this brazen altar with a sacrifice. It doesn't matter if you are the priest, the most high priest, the rich, the poor, the talented, the good looking, the not so good looking, the destitute, or the prostitute. Everyone is in this line, and they have to bring their sacrifice to the brazen altar. Animal after animal, so that they can, number one, slaughter them, and then they would take that animal and pass it on to another high priest who would butcher it down and cut it into pieces, yet another one to transport it to the hot fire. One who has to stand here getting sun scorched, getting fire burnt face all day long as they burn the animal's parts to the Lord. Some of them had to man the actual wood and just keep it going. Some of them had to handle the ashes. Can you imagine? Blackened faces, deplorable smells, putrid smell. I'm talking about sun-scorched red skin and just tired, fatigued, sweaty robes and people. And they were once white and now they're stained red. I bet every single step they took was in 3 inches of blood-soaked sand because there was so much slaughter all around. And why do we have to do all this? Why do we have to bring an animal for the sacrifice? It's because Romans says this, that the wages of all of our sin is death. In order to meet with God, sinful man, in order to meet with the holy God, has got to become innocent again. And so we bring an animal. Each one of us would have an animal. For those who are poor, a pigeon or a dove. For those who have more, it would be a lamb or a sheep or an oxen. And we're bringing that to slaughter an innocent animal. An animal whose life has to be cut short because I can't control my own life. And so it has to be sacrificed. Oftentimes they would put their hands on the animal and identify with its innocence, passing my guiltiness onto it for it to burn in the fire so that I don't have to burn in the fire as I move forward and meet with God. Can you imagine in the line, there is a person in front of me. The reason they're here is they have slept with someone who is not their spouse. And the person behind me, they have their animal and they're coming because they stole something from work or their neighbor. I can tell the lady in the back, her problem's obvious. She's been talking about everybody and their mama, and her gossip has caused her to bring an animal. Me, I'm bringing my animal because I've been angry all week long, quarantined with my family, going off on everybody. And so we all have an animal to kill. Death after death after death after death. The smells are terrible. Can you imagine the priests who are handling this? And this is what scripture says, that all of this is to meet with God. Hebrews 10, starting in verse 11, says this,
day after day, every priest stands to minister to offer again and again and again and again, over and over and over and over, the same sacrifices which can never really take away sin. Day after day, again and again and again and again, death after death and after death after death, only for us to repeat this cycle again, for us to be momentarily right to meet with God. There's got to be a better way, a better way, a better way.
Oh, but enter Jesus on the Passion Week. Let's go back to the Passion Week, the sacred moment, the final sacred moment of Jesus Christ being crucified, buried, and then risen again on Easter Sunday. When we go back to that and we look at Hebrews 10, the very next verse, verse 12, it reads this, but when this priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. Can you say like a boss? Come on. When this priest was sacrificed, all the sacrifices ended. He sat down and in Jesus's death paid the ultimate price for death. And what does that look like? Well, first it paid the ultimate price for all these sacrificial deaths. All these lambs that were lined up, all these oxen, pigeons, doves, all these animals that had to be killed so that man could commune and be with God. Guess what? Jesus' death paid the ultimate price for these deaths, and then he sat down and it ended. But then also, number two, and more importantly, Jesus' death paid the ultimate price for your death and for my death. You see, it was at the brazen altar where death had to happen for sinful man to meet with God, and Jesus's death paid the ultimate price for your death. Look at this, Isaiah chapter 53, prophesied years before, foretold what would happen, said this, it says this. Now, as I read this, read along, and I want you to say out loud the words that are underlined and feel this with me. It says, yet it was our weaknesses he carried. It was our sorrows that weighed him down. Verse 5, he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. All of us, like sheep, have strayed away. We have left God's path to follow our own path. And yet the Lord laid on him the sins of us all. He was oppressed and treated harshly, yet he never said a word. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter. Is this sounding familiar? He's the animal that we're bringing to the brazen altar so that we can finally meet with God. He is our lamb. He's the one we've got beside of us. And he was led like a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep is silent before the shearers, he did not open his mouth. You know, as I was studying this week for this, did you know that a lamb is one of the very few animals that does not flinch or turn or run from the raised up weapon of slaughter? See, Jesus didn't flinch at the brazen altar. He willingly gave up his life. He took the place of the lamb and was slaughtered in the fire, so to speak, so that Jesus would become the death of our death. Listen, you were to die in that fire for your sins. All sins wage is death. We've all committed them. And yet, Jesus paid it all. He was our lamb. And so Jesus' death was the death, the ultimate price for death. And you might say, now, wait, Pastor Drew. If his death was paid for my death, then why are we all still dying? And that's a very good question. Now, first, let me say this, that death in the Bible doesn't always mean the end of something. It means the separation of something. And see, now we were all destined for one death, the separation from our bodies, but we are all subject to two deaths, right? So we're most familiar with the first death, the one where we're all going to separate from our bodies one day. But did you know we're all subject to two deaths? And the second one is this, a separation from God for all eternity. Look at it this way. Hebrews 9:27 says that people are destined to die once, and then after that, to face the judgment. And so you decide whether you're going to die twice. We're all going to be separated from the body, and that's nothing new. I'm not teaching anything new. But here's something you might not have heard. We are all subject to two deaths. It is your decision whether you will be separated from God, the second death, for all eternity. That's called hell. To be separated from God for all eternity is called hell. And so I just told you that you were to die in that fire, but Jesus paid it all. And so listen to Revelation 20. It talks about because of Jesus's big win on the cross, there will soon be a great judgment in the future. And it says in Revelation 20 that then death and the grave were thrown into the lake of fire. And then look at this. This lake of fire is the second death. And anyone whose name was not found written in the book of life will be thrown into the second death, the lake of fire. Now check this out. Jesus threw death itself into the grave. He is the death of death. Do you see this? Jesus's death was the death of our second death. Now, we're all going to die once, but it's your decision whether you're going to die twice. And so here's the biblical principle, and I encourage you to write it down so that you can understand the future states and the end times, what's going to happen in the future to come, because it's confusing to many, but let me try to simplify it a little bit. Write this down. If you are born once, you will die twice. And if you are born twice, you will die once. Now that sounds contrarian. Write it down and I'll break it down for you. If you are born once, you die twice. But if you're born twice, you die once. What in the world are you talking about, Pastor Drew? How in the world can I be born twice? Well, guess what? In John chapter 3, a great man of God, Nicodemus, asked Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that very question. And he said, how in the world can a man crawl up into his mother's womb and be born again? And Jesus said this, unless a man is born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. He cannot enter the Holy of Holies. He cannot approach the holy place, the most holy place. He cannot commune with God forevermore unless he is born again. You have to be born twice so that you will only die once. How can a man be born again? Scripture says that if you believe with Jesus Christ, the Lord of all, and confess it with your mouth, you will be saved. And from that point forward, you are a new person. You start all over again. The old way was born with me calling the shots. And boy, that leads to a lot of sin, and we have to die for that. Death has to happen for that. But guess what? You can have a new start with Jesus Christ, where he becomes the Lord of your life, and you can do it today. And if you were born again a second time, you're a new person, and you will only die once. See, 1 Corinthians 15, that's why it says this, that, oh, when that second death is taken care of, then when our dying bodies have been transformed into bodies that will never die, never separate from God, we have already gone through the first death and they'll never separate again. This scripture will be fulfilled. Oh, death is swallowed up in victory. That's why we say, oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? Where did it go? Because Jesus's death was the death of our second death. Put it more plainly, Jesus's death was the death of all death. So what does all this mean? Well, I'm glad you asked. As you can see, we are back here at the brazen altar. We're back at the tabernacle wanting to meet with God, wanting to pray, to communicate, to connect,
to worship, to be right with Him again. And here is my favorite verse from Hebrews chapter 10. We've read a few of them by now from Hebrews 10. You should read the whole chapter after this. But check this out. My favorite, Hebrews 10:19 says this. And so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place. Remember that Holy of Holies? You remember that most sacred place where God's presence is? We can now boldly enter into that place. Why? Because of the blood of Jesus Christ. We don't have to get hung up at this altar. We don't have to bring an animal sacrifice anymore. He was the sacrifice. His death became the death of, His death paid the death price for our death. And now I can boldly enter in. Ephesians 3:12, it says it this way. In Him and through Him, that we may enter God's presence with boldness and confidence. It means this. It means as I approach this altar, I know the sacrifice has already been paid. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. And so now He is the way that allows me to enter into the holy place and bypass this brazen altar line. He is the truth, the only truth that allows me past and to be right and meet with God properly. And He is the life that I brought to the altar, paying the price, hopping in the fire where I deserve to be, where you deserve to be for the sin, so that we can boldly enter in and bypass this line and spend time with Him. Guys, this changes everything. This changes the way I pray and I communicate with God. I enter in with peace and thanksgiving for all He's paid as He helped me bypass the line. I enter in with worship in a brand new light. I enter in with confidence. My purpose has been changed because I know if He did all of this for me, then I must be worth the price. And so listen, guys, we enter in, but without Him, you're stuck right here. If you don't have Jesus, you come day in and day out, again and again, over and over, death after death, in a fire like this, paying the price for your sins. And so you simply cannot pass. You're stuck here. Fire, heat, burnt skin, perpetual sinking in your gut, knowing that I don't even know if I'll own up or ever enter in. You know what this is? This is hell. This is what hell looks like, to have to be in this fire, paying this price day after day after day, death after death after death. The death doesn't end. It's perpetual. It's perpetual torment. But you want to know something? It doesn't have to be that way. Now listen, I want you to reflect on what Jesus is offered for you so that you can enter in. As we sing this song right here, I want you to think about the death that Jesus paid so that your second death, the price could be paid. Would you enter in right now and worship as we sing this song?
God and man were crucified the day the promise won and died. It seemed that heaven's love had lost as Jesus hung upon the cross. His broken body lay to rest as earth was filled with hopelessness, until the Son of Man began to wake. The war is won, the war.
Listen, we believe that right now the Holy Spirit is moving on your heart. And if that is you today and you know that you're not right with God, then you can make a decision today to change the place you're in. You don't have to experience two deaths, for Jesus came and put a death to the second death. And so there will be no sting in death, because you will know at that moment that you will spend an eternity in the presence of God, and you'll get to hear God say, come be with me in paradise, enter in. And you can make that decision today. All you have to do is step back, die to the old self, and allow Him to come and start again fresh. Ask Him to become the Lord and Savior of your life. You could just pray a simple prayer like this. Just say with me, Jesus, I'm sorry for the mistakes I've made. I give up my old ways, and I ask you to forgive me from my sins. I know I have fallen short of your standard, and I thank you, Jesus, for becoming the death. You died and you were crucified to put to death my second death. I know that's confusing, but you be the Lord of my life. Thank you for what you did on the cross. In Jesus' name, amen.